Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From Foley, swung on, hit through the left side, and a base hit. Merrill rounding third on his way. Green's throw's got no shot, and Fernando is back! Tatis wins it for the Padres. They mob him on the left side of the infield. A walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th inning, and the Padres beat the Tigers 6-5. They will take their brooms out here tomorrow night.
And hopefully they'll be able to use them after the game later today. Jesse Agler, of course, there on the Padres Radio Network with Tony Gwynn Jr. Last night, Fernando Tatis Jr., surprising to many, his first career walk-off hit.
It's very surprising to me.
You know, we haven't talked about the controversy of, you know, walking a rise. And AJ Hinch, like Tony and I said at the beginning, they couldn't win. A rise is the best singles hitter in baseball, and a single wins the game. So you had to take your chances righty on righty with a guy that's been on the injured list for 3 months.
Yeah.
So I don't think AJ Hinch made the wrong decision. But I just wanted to point out, for those analytic folks,
here we go,
who don't think Luis Arraez carries any value whatsoever, it's not true. He does carry value, and that showed it.
Do you think
if he had no value at all, they wouldn't even think about, you know, whether they want to face one of the most dynamic players in baseball, Fernando Tatis Jr.? But Luis Arraez does have value.
Luis Arraez,
he gets
a lefty,
hits.
Right?
He's on base all the time.
He's a lefty, right?
Yeah.
So do you think it was more of a tip of the cap by AJ Hinch that, hey, we are more afraid of you, Luis Arraez, than we are Fernando? Because it changed the whole dynamic of the
at-bat. Well, of course it was. Of course it was. That was his choice. Who am I more afraid of? I can either take a guy who's the best singles hitter in the game, where a single beats me, or I can take a chance with a guy that, although dynamic and a superstar, has been rusty, you know, sitting, you know, idly by for the last 3 months.
But his
Luis Arraez was much more dangerous in that spot, and so AJ Hinch made the decision. But my thing is the analytics people tell me over and over and over again that Luis Arraez is a totally inconsequential player, and I just can't stand hearing it all the time.
No, I'm with you. He's not inconsequential.
No,
he's
far
great value
from that. But his WAR is 0.7. His WAR is the same as, I don't know.
That's why the WAR statistic doesn't work. It does not work. It's not taking into account what's actually happening
either
on the field.
I don't think it will. People who follow it and live by it will tell you that.
And it's a good way to, like, look at two players real quick. Okay, this guy versus this
guy.
It's
not a good way to look at two players because, for example, Jackson Merrill, 3.7. Mason Wynn, 4.5. Who's better? I'm not knocking Mason Wynn, but who's better?
Jackson Merrill.
Just do the eye test. Who's better? Who's been better? Who's been more clutch? And I know, Mason Wynn plays shortstop and plays it well. Yes, he does. Makes some great plays against the Padres, as a matter of fact.
He
had a really good series against the Padres. But you got to be kidding me if you're going to look in the mirror without, you know, laughing, if you think Mason Wynn's had a better year than Jackson Merrill. But that's what WAR tells you.
It does.
So that's why I can't stand it.
I know.
You know what? I
we've really taken our hatred to war.
Yes,
for...
I had to stop it.
That's all right.
I had to stop it
because
I know, but I'm overdoing it. Somebody did, you know, put out a good tweet last night in response to my tweet about the war. War. What is it good for?
I see that,
so,
too.
Yeah,
absolutely
I like that one.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Okay, let's get into some winners, losers. Actually, we didn't make any selections last night, but we have some good ones for tonight because the NFL was built on gambling. So might as well get to our daily gambit then.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Now, someone on the chat said that their girlfriend is listening for the first time, Chris, and said I sound like Patrick Mahomes, so I need to really get my voice level down.
You sound like... I can't do a Patrick Mahomes Kermit the Frog voice. How do you sound like that?
I've said it before... I will never do his voice again, so I cannot do his voice again. I'm a man of my word.
I don't see you doing Patrick Mahomes either.
All right. Well, you're safe. All right. I have been called Kermit the Frog many times, actually.
Wow.
Okay. We didn't make any bets, as Chris said, but I have a few prop bets. But let's go with, well, do you want to go with my prop bets or do you want to go with yours?
No,
first?
Do what you got. I mean, look, the NFL season's starting, so what do you have there? Anything exciting?
Yeah. Anything exciting?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to have Patrick Mahomes over under 271 passing yards, and a half passing yards today, Chris.
Over under? What does that mean? Over or under?
Over under. Do you think Patrick Mahomes has over?
Oh, do I think?
Yeah.
271?
And a half.
No.
Really?
Say under.
Okay. I'm going to go under as well.
Okay. You were stunned that I went under, and then you did the same thing.
I was. Do you think Rashee Rice,
yeah,
over under 62 and a half receiving yards? I'm going to say he goes over.
He's the big breakout guy for Kansas City. He's also an idiot. He is. Anybody that drives their car into a pile of people and then lies about, I can't get behind them.
I know.
I just can't. So under.
Under.
Because I'm mad at him still.
You're still mad at him.
Yeah.
Did you get him
holding
in any
a
drafts?
Grudge. I didn't get him, no.
Okay.
I will tell you this, as much as I'm mad at him, if he had fallen to me, I probably would have taken him.
I would have taken him too. In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
All right, here's a fun one that, you know, is kind of random. Derrick Henry over under 8.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, because he doesn't ever catch the ball, right?
No. But if he catches one.
Right, he catches one, he busts a tackle, he's over 8.5.
Yeah.
I say he's over. I say Baltimore
they're gonna dial
puts
up
that
a screen.
In the playbook tonight.
Yeah, they're going to dial up a screen. I say over as well. And the final one is going to be Lamar Jackson over under 47.5 rushing yards in the game. I'm going to say he goes under in his first game.
Nah, no way.
No?
Gonna take off. Going to run around. And you know he's going to be a blur.
He's going to be a blur.
And he may do it on the first play of the game, so I'm going to say over.
You're going to say over, I say
That's why
under.
I hate betting under on a Lamar Jackson rushing total, because he can beat it at any moment.
Yes, he can. In one run.
Yes, he can.
All right, that's it for me.
Is he the greatest running quarterback? Is there really anyone that should be even in the conversation with him? Michael Vick, yeah. Very good.
But Lamar Jackson.
But we've all tried to forget Michael Vick on, you know, for what that's worth. So.
He has somewhat of a redemptive story, but...
He does.
I don't know that he ever won MVP, did he?
Michael Vick?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. So that...
Lamar Jackson's won it twice now.
Twice.
Yeah, he'd like to win some rings, though. All right, what do you got? Kansas City -3 over Baltimore. Who you picking here to win the game or win the spread? It's great.
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Baltimore +3.
Yep.
I'm also going to take Baltimore +3.
Baltimore.
I feel a Baltimore win tonight.
Okay.
47 points over under total.
Over under 47 points.
You know what's funny? I mean, we talk about trying to hit a parlay. Just try to hit one of those. Pick the spread and the over under the game. You can't even do that. That's how hard it is.
Yeah.
So we're both taking Baltimore. I'm going to say Baltimore, 47 points. 24-21 is not even enough. I'm going to say under. Baltimore and under for me. What are you doing?
I think it's going to be like 21-17, so well, I'm going to say under.
I know you're not a good at math, so I have to help you.
Thank you.
All right, we're both saying Baltimore and under, so you can pretty much count on it being Kansas City and over. Derrick Henry's rushing total is 64.5.
Yes, 64.5.
Yeah, what do you think about Derrick Henry there?
I don't know he's going to get the 64.5 rushing yards. I'm going to say under.
Under? 64.5.
He's going to have a 64-yard reception.
You know, it's funny. The Chiefs' defense was awesome last year. When everybody forgets it. Everybody thinks it was all Mahomes who won the Super Bowl, and he did his thing.
Yeah.
But Kansas City's defense was great last year, and that's why they won the Super Bowl, ultimately. Having said that, Derrick Henry goes over.
Over.
In his Ravens debut.
Okay.
Travis Kelce, 56.5 yards.
I think we've seen the best.
Which is the same, I believe it's the same total as times we see Taylor Swift on camera, 56.5. Going over or under on that?
I'm going to go. See, I'm not sure yet which Travis Kelce we're going to get. If we're going to get the falling off, I'm getting older Travis Kelce.
Or Super Bowl Travis Kelce, who's unguardable.
I'm not going to bet against him in the opener with a national audience. I'm going to go over.
Over? Okay, I'll say under. Jessica Pegula.
Oh.
U.S. Open women's semifinal. She's in her first ever semifinal. She's the daughter, you know, of the Buffalo Bills ownership.
Oh, okay.
Jessica Pegula.
All right.
Number 6 seed. Taking on unseeded Carolina Mugova.
Mugova.
And Mugova is a very good player. Been in the semifinals of a major before, but not seeded because of injuries, etc. Neither player has lost a set yet in the tournament.
Dang.
As they meet in the semifinal tonight. Pegula is a 2.5 game favorite. I'm taking Mukova. I think she's got a little more experience at this level. Even though Pegula is the seeded player, I'll take Mukova here with the games. What about you?
Yeah, you got Buffalo Bill blood.
Buffalo Bill blood. They do get they get a little tense get, around this time,
yeah,
don't they?
I'm going to go with Mukova.
You're going to get Mukova also. Mukova, okay. Yeah. Double Mukova.
Oh, Mukova.
Mukova, yeah. It's M-U-C-H-O-V-A.
Oh, okay.
Most people think it's Muchova, but it's certainly not that.
Muchova.
Yeah, it's not that.
I would have said that.
Okay. On the men's side, tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to it, but it's not till tomorrow night, so we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
But Fritz is going to play Tiafoe, the two U.S. players, in the semifinals tomorrow evening. But tomorrow afternoon, the top seed, Jannik Sinner, the cheetah, takes on, not cheetah, but cheater.
Oh, takes on, you were calling him Tyreek Hill.
Takes on 25th seed Jack Draper of Great Britain, who
what
got all
name.
The way to the... Yeah, Draper's in the final four. Taking on Sinner, though, over under 35.5 games for the match. Four sets would probably get you right around 35. If it goes five sets, it's going over for sure.
Well,
if it goes three sets, it's going under for sure.
Sinner is juicing, so
he's cheating.
I think that he's going to take care of business early against Mr. Draper. So you're going to go under.
I'm going to go under also. I think Draper's met his match here. Sinner wins easily. And tonight, Padres, Tigers, 8 runs. Over under. What you think?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I got to go first in one of these.
Okay, you go.
Martin Perez. Yeah, I'm going to go over. I don't think Martin's. I think Martin had a little magic there when he first got here.
I do too.
He may go 5 innings, 4 runs tonight, and then the Padres will, you know, come back and
you know what, the Padres,
style somewhere.
Yeah, probably. That's what they do
game.
Every night.
Yeah.
The Padres are going to be riding high today, so I'm going to go under.
Under. Perez.
I mean, I'm saying that he's going to have a good start, Martin Perez.
Got it. All right, we'll see how our picks do tomorrow. We have a full show tomorrow. Before the Padres are in San Fran tomorrow night?
They're here.
The game, oh, that's right, San Fran is here. San Fran right now is still 2-2 in the ninth inning. Top of the ninth inning, Diamondbacks batting against the Giants. Still 2-2. there in San Francisco.
I had my San Francisco friend draft last night, fantasy football draft,
mm-hmm.
and all of them are just complaining about the Giants. And
do they want to run Bob Melvin out of town?
Yes, they do want to run. They call him Sleepy Bob.
It's pretty funny because Bob Melvin also managed on the other side of the bay, and he was really good.
He was
really
good with less help.
And I remind everybody around here who is not a Bob Melvin fan, and you know who you are out there.
Yeah.
All right. I just remind you, all of you, that when the Padres got within a couple of games of the World Series a couple of years ago, the manager was Bob Melvin.
He was.
I know you forgot about that because they didn't get anywhere last year, but he still took them places they've rarely gone.
He did, but I will be the devil's advocate and say what everybody else will say. Well, he was still the manager when he didn't put Josh Hader in to face Bryce Harper and left Robert Suarez in to give up a home run.
Okay. So all of a sudden now people are Josh Hader fans.
When it fits their argument, yes, Chris.
That's right. When it fits the argument.
You know, they're fine with Bob Melvin staying one more year, but they're really
They had a lot of injuries though this year. I mean, in fairness to the Giants, by the way, Blake Snell started that game today for the Giants. One inning, allowed two runs, threw 42 pitches. And was done.
Was he injured?
Not that we know of. I haven't seen any bulletin of any kind.
So why don't you go out there and
42
put some more
pitches?
Up, Blake Snell.
That was
Blake
it for Blake.
Like really?
Yeah. 42 pitches,
hey,
one inning
it.
Today.
I'll take it if the Giants.
I won't take it. I needed him to go six shutties today. We needed a win from Blakester.
Hey,
needed to help the cause.
See, I was just bringing that because Giants fans are talking about that. And as we were talking about Farhan Zaidi, Fernando hits the walk-off, and they're like, just be quiet. Just be quiet. I don't even want to hear it right now. We know the Padres are good. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Giant fans don't want to hear from you at the moment. All right, Giants are now coming to bat in the bottom of the ninth. Still tied at two. We'll keep you updated there, and we'll keep you rolling here after check of traffic.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Patrick Bailey. Who's that, you ask? He's a friend of the Padres right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a walk-off ground rule double. Score the winning run in the bottom of the ninth inning just moments ago up in San Francisco. Giants beat the Diamondbacks 3-2. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. Tony and I will have our first edition Week 1 NFL Pick'em coming up in the 4 o'clock hour just ahead of Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show. Tonight it's the Padres and the Tigers. Padres are now a game ahead of the Diamondbacks at the moment. They're only 3 up on Atlanta and 3.5 on the Mets. Mets don't play tonight. Braves have the Rockies at home, so you can imagine what's going to happen there. you know, the Rockies only jump up when they're playing the Padres. But, you know, it still behooves the Padres to stick with this here. You know, they're playing unbelievable, and they've been unbelievable for, you know, 2 months. But they got to finish this.
Yes,
because the Braves and the Mets and, you know, even Arizona lost today, but those teams aren't going away.
No.
Yeah, the Padres have a, you know, an unforeseen slip up here. You know, those teams could still get back in it. So, you know, win tonight, keep on winning. Got the Giants coming in this weekend. So,
it's going to be...
Keep it going.
The rest of the month outside of maybe the White Sox series is going to be like
interesting.
Really tough baseball.
Well, you know, the last six games are going to be really fun.
Oh, yeah, really.
They really are. I mean, at L.A., you hope that you still have an outside shot to catch the Dodgers. You're 4.5 back right now. It's not impossible. It would be nice to go up there and, you know, win 2 out of 3 and close within like a game.
Yep.
But the final weekend in Arizona, I mean, you might just be playing for a home field advantage.
You could
which
be.
Which is, I think it's a big deal. I know the Padres are a great road team. They are. They're the best by a long shot on the road. Still rather play the, you know, 3-game series here at Petco Park.
I will take.
I just would.
Are you kidding me? This place would explode.
That'd be awesome.
Just
be
like awesome. It did during the NLDS with, mm-hmm. against the Dodgers, just like it did in the NLCS, even though they lost.
How about the series against the Cardinals, even though there was no fans?
The city was
on fire.
I was lucky enough to see Fernando do the bat flip in person.
Right.
And us
there was no one at those games, yet the buzz in this town was off the charts.
Off the
with
charts.
With no attendance.
People were driving around downtown because it was COVID
crazy.
And it was all socially distanced.
It was crazy.
Great. It was great.
Yeah, so yeah, play them here as much as you possibly can. All right, your guy.
Oh, God.
Russell Wilson.
He's not my guy. He's Tony's guy.
Oh, but Tony's not here, so I got to blame you. He's already making excuses for why he's going to stink this season. Says his calf is starting to bother him.
Oh, gosh.
I love people who do this ahead of an opening game. You're building in excuses. Now, who would you rather have, Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson? Here's what Lamar Jackson said. Listen to this. It was in the Washington Post. And apparently this interview took place a few months ago, but it was just published today. Lamar Jackson, quote, about losing to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year. Lamar Jackson said, "We would have won the damn game if I would have been able to move around for my guys. With me just hurting and I can't move, I know if my legs were good, we would have won that bleep. We wouldn't have even had to throw that bleeping ball."
Okay, I don't.
You
can't
know
get
you don't want me
that.
To keep doing bleeping.
Yes.
But here's my thing. Lamar Jackson is basically, ahead of tonight's game, putting a target on his back by coming out and saying, "We should have beat the Chiefs, and in a healthy me, we would have." He has no reason to say that at this point, other than to get the Chiefs a little ticked off about it.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
Right?
Because I don't necessarily...
But I'd still rather have Lamar Jackson on my side than a guy who's already making excuses for why his season's going to be terrible.
Well, isn't that what Lamar Jackson did? The reason we lost the game is because I was hurt? Okay. Well, then, are you actually hurting your team by being out there, Lamar? Would you guys have been better off with someone else playing quarterback?
Like, certainly Ricky Huntley would have, whoever they...
Tyler,
I don't even know who the Ravens' backup is, honestly.
He's not on the team anymore.
Yeah, whoever their backup is.
But
yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that you say we would have won the game.
What do you like? What do you dislike more? Russell Wilson already making excuses for why he's going to be terrible, or Lamar Jackson making an excuse for a game that was played 5 months ago against an opponent he has to play again tonight?
I
who's dumber? Well,
I think Lamar Jackson is.
I think Lamar Jackson's dumber. But I dislike Russell Wilson more.
See, yes.
I don't like coming out before you start and already saying I'm hurt.
But was he just asked, like, how's your calf or something, and then they took the quote?
All right, let me, you know what? In the fairness of being fair.
We got to ride, Chris. Let's ride.
I know.
I'm sure that he was asked about his personal
let
or
me
how
just
he
see
feels
what it
heading
says.
Into the season or something.
He was limited in practice.
There you go.
Coach Mike Tomlin said... He won't say when Wilson informed him of the tightness in his calf. The quarterback will be further evaluated. Tomlin said his calf got tight, so we want to exercise some precaution. Wilson was initially scheduled to speak with the media, but delayed his availability to tomorrow. So he didn't really say anything. It was Mike Tomlin who said it.
See? There you go. He had Mike Tomlin deliver his excuse.
I really love Mike Tomlin, and I love our boss, Michael Valenzuela, and their, you know, Steelers and the world. I just can't get behind anything with Russell Wilson right now. I just cannot
do
it.
Really.
I'd like to try, but I can't.
No, me neither.
Hokey doke. We'll take a break. When we come back, Big Five time. Tony's back for that. So see what's on our mind as the Gwen and Chris show rolls on.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, Tony's down there at Petco Park, and it's really hot outside. Chris and I are in the sauna that is the Odyssey Palace. Chris,
I think I'd rather be in the studio or the booth with Tony, honestly. At least there's air in there.
There's air circulating.
There's some circulation in here, at least.
I mean, yeah. We are in an absolute sauna recording this Big Five today. So.
Really? It says on the wall 81 degrees right now.
And yeah, more, 81 and, inside is not good.
And no. More humidity. And so by the end of this Big Five, I'm going to be salty. No matter what the question is.
All right.
Number five.
Last night, we saw the Greek god Fernando Tatis Jr. running around the field with his shirt off. And I couldn't help but think about the time Jurickson Profar walked it off against the Nationals, and the Nationals took exception. I think the Tigers could feel the same way. I'm not sure if they're going to feel the same way. Tony, do you think the Tigers are going to take exception to Fernando Tatis Jr.'s celebration?
No. Tati's celebration was like standard celebration, with the exception of they added the, I would say it's like 2017 Shredder, where they kind of shredded his uniform on there. Outside of that, that's pretty standard for what most guys are doing on a walk-off non-home run. You know, it's usually a little, some form of jumping around somewhere in the middle of the field. I think what the Nationals took exception to is that they felt like it was directed at them on their side. I mean, Jurickson at one point was on the third base side foul territory and was pumping up the crowd. You know what I'm saying? So I guess for them it was a little too close for comfort, I guess. But, you know, I think everybody thinks that they jumped out the window on that one and probably overreacted.
Yes, I think so. Chris, what do you think the Tigers are going to take exception?
I don't think they have a right to take exception, but then I really didn't think the Nationals had a whole lot of right to take exception either. So, you know, this is standard fare now in baseball. You know, walk-off hits or celebrations. I mean, you get it's a party on the mound, you know, or in Jurickson Profar's case, a party over at the third baseline. And I don't blame Fernando getting the shirt off, because you know you're going to get Gatorade dumped all over you, so you might as well, you know, be free of some of the clothing. This was a big moment for him last night. It was a big win for the team we talked about earlier. You know, this is first ever walk-off hit he's ever had, which is
insane.
Very surprising to a lot of people. And, you know, we all know that he said so. He took exception to the fact that they walked the guy ahead of him to face him. So he had every right to be as excited as he could. And I think the Tigers probably understand that A.J. Hinch is, this is a guy better. It shouldn't really say too much. You know, the old glass houses thing. I think A.J. was the manager of the Astros trash can team.
Yes.
So.
Trash
so he's,
can team.
He's eliminated from all trash talking.
He can't complain ever again. That's right. That's his penalty. That's his penalty,
it's
Tony.
His sentence.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Number four.
Now, Tony, we did actually talk about Whit Merrifield being unhappy yesterday with pitchers in baseball throwing heat rather than locating the pitch in the zone. We'll get your opinion when we have a little bit more time, because this, I think, is going to live on for a little bit. And I was thinking about ways they could police it, because that's what Whit Merrifield wants. He wants to police it somehow. And you can't throw at anyone anymore. Pitchers aren't hitting, so you can't buzz their tower. But I think maybe you have something similar to the NBA technical foul rule. If a pitcher throws into the head and neck area a certain number of times, then they will be suspended. You have an umpire in New York determine this for workflow purposes. But Chris, do you think there needs to be a rule to address this?
I don't think there needs to be a rule. You know, I'd like to believe that you know, baseball can police itself. And every time, you know, there's some sort of controversy or somebody gets angry, you know, that we don't have to write a new rule for it. However, having said that, I think we might be headed in that direction. I mean, I cannot think Whit Merrifield came off as, you know, I said it yesterday. I thought he was whining a little bit. But the more I've thought about this, you know, he's bringing up something that is actually happening in the game right now, which is a lot of guys are coming up, throwing 100 miles an hour, and don't know where it's going. And, you know, the safety of these hitters is, you know, come into question a little bit. So, you know, the only thing that a hitter has is, you know, the thought that a pitcher knows they could face some sort of penalty if they hit him in the head. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of free. It's a free shot. And so that's what Whit Merrifield was saying. So I would love to think that we don't need a rule, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't put something along those lines in.
Tony, do you think there needs to be a rule to address this?
I don't know if there needs to be a rule, but I thought when I saw Whit Merrifield talking about, I felt for him. Dude just got squared up in the back of the head with 94. Thankfully, it was only 94 because that's kind of like the low end of what these guys are seeing most of these nights. It's usually a lot higher, and I agreed with him. I agreed with it, literally everything he said in that. I mean, you got all these cats coming up that don't know where it's going. You know, maybe that's where you start. You know, stop letting guys up who don't know how to throw it anywhere near the zone because, you know, it is dangerous. And, you know, for all of the complaining about, you know, the offense being down, there's a ton of reasons why that is. This doesn't help, though. Like, your life literally could be flashed before your eyes getting hit in the dome. Lights could go out forever. And so, and that might sound dramatic, but when you watch Whit Merrifield get hit in the back of the head, that's the, like, the first thing I thought of. Like, you know how lucky he is to even be able to get to a knee and have that conversation with the way he got hit? So I don't know that I necessarily think there needs to be a rule, though. I think teams just have to be, they got to protect the league in itself, right? And you protect the league by saying, hey, you can't come up here until you can, you know, command the ball, at least somewhere in the four quadrants.
I hate to tell you that, Tony, but I don't think teams could field a 13-man staff if that were the case these days.
Of course they can. Okay, they gotta hire some guys who can teach it and, you know, make it a requirement. I know it's a crazy concept, but, you know, it's kind of how it has been.
Why not dial it back a little bit to find your control?
I just don't think, I, you know, the more I hear talk to pitchers, the more, you know, you hear from them, I don't think dialing it back is like a thing. They it may be dial it back enough to be able. I mean, I don't even think it's a thing. I think they'd rather take the consequences of them not necessarily being able to command it and go on from there. I don't see you're not. They're not. You can't put that back in a toothpaste.
Yeah.
Or well, a tube, I should say.
Yes, in the tooth bag. Tony, Tony, you still are holding the record for fastest pitch ever in an at-bat in Major League Baseball. Ben Joyce was 105.5. He was the fastest strikeout pitch ever. But you faced Aroldis Chapman in 2010. So you still have the record.
You know what's funny is I saw that live, and it said 106. So I was like, oh, well, there's a new fastest guy. But then, you know, they obviously rounded up on TV.
Yeah. TV and, being dramatic.
You're still in the record books, my man, and we're rooting
still,
for you.
Yeah.
I'm still in the record. You know what I did see about that? There were some, I assume it was Padre fans, taking exception with the Dodgers broadcasters who were saying that Joyce wasn't throwing 106.
Yeah, they didn't believe the gun.
They didn't believe the gun. Now, I'm all for the idea that, you know, the gun now is, you know, catching it out of the hand versus at the plate. That is true. But chances are if he's throwing 106, that's the same 106 we've been, like, the same 95. That's the same gun. So, I mean, I don't think it just said, oh, Joyce is on the mound. Let's jack this up a little bit. I mean, he's probably throwing that hard, man. It's not that crazy of a concept.
Yeah, that is. They were saying that. It was like.
But
okay,
I did find it hilarious that, you know, people were so upset about.
Oh, well, I don't care about that.
Claiming it was just kind of funny.
Yeah,
it was really only because it was the Dodgers.
Because they were talking out of the side of their mouth, like, I can't believe this radar gun.
Number three.
ESPN announced something recently about their coverage of certain sports, and it's angering people, and I'm one of those people, because ESPN's going to use generative AI technology to provide fans with incremental game recap stories for the Premier Lacrosse League and National Women's Soccer League. The added coverage will be added to existing coverage, and the initiative will extend to some other sports in the future. These AI-generated recaps aim to enhance coverage of underserved sports, providing fans with content that was previously unavailable. These sports do not currently have game recaps on ESPN platforms, and these AI-generated recaps will be a tool to make this all better and not replace it. So, Tony,
what's your beef with it?
Many people are saying the same thing. Why not hire real people to do this?
Gotcha. Oh, my God. You know the answer to the question.
I know the answer, but they're trying so hard to save money that they're going to a computer for this.
I would challenge the word save, because save indicates that you're trying to, like, you don't have very much, so you're trying to save. I think in these cases, they're trying to make more money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they're trying to do here.
They're trying to get better coverage of these sports that don't have any and get some of those people more interested in their platforms. I understand where they're coming from. I know what Scrabius is thinking, I believe. And that is, and that's a dangerous precedent
to
try to read your mind over there. But, yeah, I think all of us to a certain extent wish that maybe AI didn't get invented, because it's out there taking, you know, potential jobs away from people and creativity away and all of these things.
Fast food workers are being replaced by computers.
Right, I get you, but I don't know how you can, you know, stop progress.
Make laws. Say, you have to have a human being in a fast food restaurant. You can't just have a computer.
Yeah, let's just keep making more and more rules.
I want more rules, Chris.
Yes, you do.
Tony, what were you
saying? Yeah, man, this is kind of a tough one, obviously, because AI is not going anywhere.
No.
It's only going to become more prevalent.
I saw a video of Trump the other day, like, waving a gun around, and it was fake. And I'm like, man, this stuff is getting too real. Too real.
Yeah, no, it's both scary and fascinating all at the same time.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's one of those things, man. As we get more technology and I guess in some ways smarter, although it doesn't always feel like that. You know, these are the type of things we'll be doing. You know, AI is here, and as much as I would love for those jobs to be taken up by human bodies.
Yeah.
What if it's just like an internship? Because that's how you can't get into these things anymore. There's no entry point.
I get where you're going, but progress is what it is. And if I told you you had to get an old typewriter and pieces of paper and whiteout to put out the daily grid
rundown
of what we're, the rundown of what we're doing on the show, you'd probably complain about that. The fact of the matter is, now they have computers, and you can type on there, and you can go back to yesterday's rundown and make notes off of that. I mean, in that regard, the progress has made your life incredibly much easier.
Typewriters don't have an unemployment rate.
I get where you're coming from, but progress is progress, and people are going to have to try to keep up with it. And if there's not enough room for people to work in fast food places, then people are going to have to aspire to, you know, higher jobs that where there might be some openings. I mean, read the landscape. I mean, learn AI, learn IT work.
I mean, I've tried to do the coding thing. I don't have the brain for
it. I know. I don't either. But, you know,
I tried to.
You have to sit back and go, hey, this is
difficult.
This is where the jobs are now. And maybe there won't be as many jobs at Burger King.
Someone hire me to be an AI character or something. Then I'll be in on it.
I mean, I don't even get the whole AI thing, honestly, number one. And number two, if ESPN didn't tell me that the report on the lacrosse league game was generated by AI,
you would never know.
I'd never know.
I don't know this for sure, but I think they have to make it clear when things are AI. But I'm not 100% sure on that. Anyway, good conversation, guys.
Number two.
We are seeing more and more NFL quarterbacks play late into their 30s, and even some are now playing in their 40s, a la Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Troy Aikman thinks he knows why, and he was on a podcast talking about it. He said, It's the protection on the quarterback. He played 12 years. He would have played much longer, but now they're playing up to 40 because they're being protected by the referees. Here's the quote. Quarterbacks just aren't taking the punishment we took when I played. Anytime a quarterback goes, does get hit, they're immediately looking for a flag. I should put together a highlight reel of the worst hits that I took, and you would think these players would probably be banned from the NFL, and there wasn't even a penalty on the play. It's changed a lot for sure, which he's right. I mean, he used to get all those quarterbacks.
Who's that?
Troy Aikman. All those quarterbacks used to get destroyed.
I mean, that's how his career basically ended, wasn't it? Like concussions, wasn't it?
Yeah, endless concussions.
Neck stuff. Yeah. Chris.
He was getting cracked.
Yeah.
Do you agree with him?
I do. I agree 100%. Here's the... I saw a post the other day, and I don't know if it was on Twitter, and I still call it Twitter, but I don't know if it was there or if it was on YouTube when I was, you know, scrolling through. But what it was a 1970s version of CBS's intro into the game of the week on the NFL. Did you happen to see this, Tony?
No.
You know when they go, welcome to today's broadcast on CBS. It'll be the Eagles against the Giants. And while they're talking about all this, they're showing a bunch of highlights from the NFL.
Yeah.
They showed like 10 plays during this highlight package. Every single one of them would be illegal now.
It would.
You wouldn't be able to do any
like
of them.
It was some guy taking an elbow to someone's head.
Oh, some guy clotheslined another guy.
It was crazy.
I mean, the game used to be just mayhem compared to now. And this makes perfect sense. I mean, Aikman's right. I mean, quarterbacks are going to stay healthy longer, more than likely, because they're not getting banged up as bad. I agree with this. That and the fact that there's just so much more information now. I mean, Aikman didn't sit there with a tablet on the sideline,
breaking down,
you know, his last drive. And I think, you know, so once you get a little, you know, you're more experienced, and now you're getting...
They had still shots, didn't they?
Yeah.
Were they looking at still shots
back then? Yes, they used to have some kid run them down from the press box to hand them to Troy Aikman. You know, so now somebody that has experience like an Aikman, he looks at the information he's getting and... I mean, he knows how to process that.
The shots are like from a spy plane just down on the field. I can remember them like flipping through them as they're like stapled together. Anyway.
I remember Bob Greasy used to get the photos by Pony Express back in my day. The early days.
Tony, do you agree with Troy Aikman?
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty obvious, honestly. Like, can you imagine? I mean... And look, the rules changed because they wanted more points. They wanted to keep the quarterbacks upright. And can you imagine the likes of Joe Montana or Steve Young or any of these cats that, I mean, Dan was already ahead of his time. Marino, could you imagine him with the rules now? Like, it'd be ridiculous. It really would be ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think...
Not only was he getting lit up, Marino and Aikman, but their receivers were being tackled while they were trying to run down the field, which no longer happens.
They were being tackled. They were being decapitated.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The middle of the field wasn't even like an option for everybody back then. So, yeah. Like,
no, that's a great
I mean,
point.
Yes, the rules have changed significantly. Football might be the one sport, and obviously guys are bigger, stronger, faster, but I don't know that there would be, especially at the quarterback position, that there would be, like, so much a drop-off if they played with the same rules, right? If Marino and some of the best we're talking about, like, they would have been lighting it up just like Tom and these cats are.
Yeah, probably. Probably, for sure. All right.
Number one.
A Japanese bodybuilder claims he is a quote-unquote true master and has quote-unquote doubled his life expectancy by only sleeping half an hour per night for the last 12 years. Daisuke Hori, he is 40 years old. He said he trained his body and mind to function normally and not feel as tired as he targets around 30 to 45 minutes of sleep each night. He relies on remaining active and drinking caffeine to keep awake and alert through his 23 and a half hour day.
Perfect mixture.
That sounds really healthy.
Yes.
Health experts say he's not telling the truth. This is not possible. You cannot go on 30 minutes of sleep per night for the last 12 years. And this is extremely dangerous. Tony, what's the longest you have ever stayed awake?
I stayed awake a full 24 hours before.
It's pretty rough.
It was very rough. And the tough part about it, this was 1991, so I was 9 years old.
Oh, man. You were.
I was in Toronto.
I thought you were pulling an all-nighter for an exam.
Yeah.
No, I've never done it as an adult. I've only done it as a kid. I stayed up. It was at the All-Star game in Toronto. I stayed up a full 24 hours, and it was time to go to the game the next day. I had not slept the entire day. I slept through the entire game and some that next day. That's how, I mean, it was, I was hurt. And then that's probably why I've never done it again. I think psychologically it was like,
it really affected you.
Really stupid. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's pretty bad for 9 years old. I can imagine that. Chris, what's the longest you've ever stayed up?
I think it was a whole weekend.
Oh, whoa.
Whole weekend?
Whoa.
It wasn't my,
Was it a bender?
No, it was not a bender. Well, yes. But all of it was forced. All of it was forced.
It was a forced bender. You were kidnapped?
That sounds horrible. I was not kidnapped, and I don't want to tell any stories out of school because all of this stuff's supposed to be secretive. But it was all part of my initiation into my fraternity at San Diego State. And
I will say that
there was no physical harm or any of the stuff that you think you hear and read about. It was nothing like that.
You weren't slapping
the paddle. Went to school in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, there wasn't something crazy.
The crazy part was that they kept you awake for so long and they filled you with so much alcohol that you started to believe pretty much anything they said. And that was kind of the whole mind gap there.
Meld.
So I go back to my initiation weekend. I would do it again. It was a great time in my life being part of the fraternity. I know people have heard horror stories, but it wasn't. I might be making it sound worse than it was, but we were very busy during the entire time.
Cleaning toilets and stuff.
That was part of it, too.
Nothing more disgusting than a frat house bathroom.
Not after we were done with it on those weekends.
That's true. All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Get in line right now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.